Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
But you're aboard here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. We want you to know about a very special event taking place Saturday, August 18th. It's going to be at the Quest Multisport Complex, 2641 West Harrison Street in Chicago. Chicago's own Howard Moore, assistant coach for the Wisconsin Badgers basketball team. He is with us here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. The head of the Moore Foundation joins us now. Coach Jonathan Hood, thanks so much for your time.
Hey, Jonathan, thanks for having me on, my man.
Absolutely, man. You're doing something very special for the community. You always leave campus, and you're always around Chicago doing something for the community. I wanted people to be aware of what you're doing with the Moore Foundation. So first of all, I'm happy. I love the logo, by the way. You just turned the W upside down.
Thanks.
So,
got a little red in there. It worked out.
So the Moore Foundation, tell us about the special event, because we want people to know.
Well, to start with the Moore Foundation, it's kind of a result of, unfortunately, something tragic. You know, a year ago, last July, my uncle Leroy Moore was shot and killed, just an innocent bystander on 71st on the South Side, and caught a stray bullet just coming out of a store, which was a tragic situation for my family. But, you know, like anything else, and a lot of Chicagoans who have, you know, championed on from adversity and bad circumstances, the whole foundation thing came about when some supporters and friends from Chicago, Wisconsin, all over the country just reached out and said, what can I do? What's going on in Chicago is just unbelievable. And when it hits your family, it really hits home hard. And some UW alums that are Chicagoans came to me and said they wanted to take on the responsibility of putting on the foundation, and they did it for me pro bono. So really grateful to the Fahey family. The St. Ignatius family is well aware of who the Faheys are, and Danny Fahey was a kid I coached at Wisconsin. Him and his dad got together, and they put it on for us and helped me create the foundation. So it's been a great vehicle for what we want to do. We were doing the Legends event way before we thought about putting on a foundation. And ironically, a week before my uncle was shot and killed, we had a Legends event where we're talking about Legends taking back the streets. Alumni basketball event where we get all of the Chicago alums and legends from the past 80s, 90s, and 2000s and take a stand against the gun violence. And like I mentioned, ironically so, my uncle was taken from me a week later. So, now we're doing it under the umbrella of the foundation. And we're putting together a tremendous, tremendous event. We're going to have a launch and family, like a private discussion that the Big Ten Network will air and put on for us with Stephen Bartle as the host. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to have some good discussion and come up with some solutions and tell people what the Moore Foundation is all about and why we're doing this and, how we're going to stand with the people in the community of Chicago against what's going on. And then Saturday is the fun. It's a celebration. It's, celebrating kids and giving them some life tools through the game of basketball. So we'll have a free basketball camp for 4th to 6th graders. Saturday at 8 a.m. to 12, we'll have the Legends basketball tournament, as we always do every year, 80s, 90s bracket, and then a 2000 to 2009 bracket as well, with some really good Chicago guys and some well-known names from the past and very, very esteemed guys. And then we're going to have a celebrity basketball all-star game at 7 o'clock. With comedian Joe Torre as the host, mm-hmm. And the MC. So some celebrity coaches like Leon Rogers from WGCI and King basketball legend and Illinois Illini star Marcus Liberty is going to be coming back home to celebrate with us. And, we also want to just show people what Chicago is really about. The media has been kind of killing our city and really destroying the character of the good citizens of Chicago. if you're from here, you know there's more good people here than the bad apples.
Right.
And we just want to put the good apples on the front line and show people what we're really about and how we celebrate with peace and love and camaraderie.
Well, we want people to be there. Again, Legends taking it back to the streets, the fourth annual celebration. And as Coach said, as Coach Howard Moore with us, with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app, Victims to Victors. And again, this is something that's very special to Coach and to all Chicagoans. You should be able to be there again Saturday, August 18th. You mentioned that free Legends basketball camp, 8 to noon for kids for grades 4 through 6, right?
Right, because, you know, I'm obviously an NCAA college coach. I can't have a free camp, you know, due to NCAA guidelines for kids that are 7th grade and older. So, obviously, a 7th grader, I don't know if you know this, Jonathan, but a 7th grader is considered a recruitable athlete. So,
yes.
That's the age now. It used to be 9th grade. Now it's 7th. So, I can't, under NCAA guidelines, I can't have a free basketball camp for 7th and 8th graders, and obviously not high schoolers. So, you know, but 4 through 6 is a good age group. It's a group that's very impressionable, and we want to make sure that we put the right impression on these young men. And you know, and I think it's going to be a fun group. We got some college coaches, and some, you know, like I mentioned, some legendary basketball guys is going to be around. It's going to help coach and work with the kids, and we'll have a nice structured camp. You know, but we'll have some. You know, some very high character people talk to these young people and tell them about how we were able to use basketball as a vehicle to maneuver around all of the perils and the traps that the community can have when you're growing up in the inner city like Chicago, and how you can step away from those things and make good decisions and stay away from making the decisions that can really get you in jeopardy.
Mark Emmert's making some changes with the NCAA. Are you sure you can't get somebody older in there? I've seen some changes in the rule book. I know you see the same thing, have you not?
Oh, wow. Well, I'm not even – look, we could do a whole new show about the new rules. But, I'll tell you what, it's amazing. But, you know, at the same time, you know, you got to be aware. And when I do this event, you know, I have to make sure that compliance, look it all over with a fine-tooth comb and, you know, in a magnifying glass and make sure everything is on point. But we, you know, everything is compliant. It's for a great cause. We don't get anything out of this. I mean, I'm doing this from the, you know, from the bottom of my heart because Chicago means so much to me. It raised me. Obviously, I left the state to, you know, to pursue my college career, but Chicago is always going to be home, you know, and this is always going to be a place that's dear to me. You know, my family's here, mom, dad, brother, you know, cousins, aunts, grandmother. I mean, it's, you know, so many family people and just friends, you know, people that I consider family that aren't even, you know, don't even share the same blood. But, you know, just people that I really care about. And then the basketball community in Chicago is important. And it's a strong community. And if we're going to do anything that's going to put a dent in this violence, then why not use one of the strongest communities that Chicago has to offer, which is the basketball community? You know, when there's a big, high-profile basketball game, you know that crowd is just going to be great, and there's going to be so many faces of influence and so many people that, you know, can make a difference in our city that shows up for those games. That's the group we engage. That's the group that we know can make a difference on a grassroots level, and certainly – to make a good impression on these kids to go on and leave successful lives and not to right after the shortcomings of doing the wrong things.
So, again, Saturday, August 18th, we want you to be there. Again, this will be at the Quest Multisport Complex on West Harrison in Chicago, a free Legends basketball camp for kids grades 4th through 6th. The Legends Alumni Basketball Tournament starts at 10:30. The All-Star Celebrity Game is at 7 o'clock that night, and a Hall of Fame induction ceremony with Chicago Legends, all part of Legends taken back to the streets, all part of the Moore Foundation. So that's
absolutely
just awesome.
And just let me make it clear that we're going to have – so during the day when the Legends Tournament is going on, we'll charge $5 at the door for everyone 18 and up, and anyone 17 and under is just $1. And all proceeds go to the Moore Foundation, which is going to create programs for kids, mentorship programs, after-school programs, all types of services that we're going to try to provide for young people in Chicago. And then the Celebrity All-Star Game at 7 You know, we're going to, before that, we're going to clear the gym and get everything set up for one court. And then we're going to have, we're going to charge $10 a head for people coming in for the Celebrity All-Star Game, which won't disappoint. It's going to be a phenomenal event. And it's going to be great basketball players, names that you'll all know. But at the same time, it's just the environment. It's the camaraderie. It's Chicago coming together and showing what we're really about. So it's going to be a great family festival, and obviously safe and secure. We'll have good people there to provide safety, and the Chicago Police Department will be involved, and they are one of our partners, obviously. And Quest Multisport, as everyone knows, where the NBA Combine is, and, you know, whenever there's a function there, we're always making sure that people feel comfortable and welcome. So it should be a great venue, and all come out and enjoy and support.
Coach, as always, I appreciate your time. Thanks so much for coming on the show and telling us about the Moore Foundation.
Hey, thanks for having me on and talking about legends and the Moore Foundation. Thanks, my friend.
All right, it is Howard Moore, the Wisconsin Badgers assistant coach, with us here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Tuesday.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the main event of the evening for the Worldwide Wrestling Federation Heavyweight Championship.
Wrestling.
Ladies and gentlemen, our first event of the evening is a one-fall match with a 15-minute time limit.
There ain't nobody. There ain't nobody in wrestling who can make me quit. And that's the bottom line. Stone Cold said so.
Tuesday.
We are what wrestling's all about. New York City here. Chicago here. JD on my left. Linda on my right. But I'm not telling any of the girls who I'm going to give it to in Chicago until that night. Woo!
Tuesday, Wrestling. Tuesday returns to Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
It's Tuesday, Wrestling Tuesday, here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Jonathan Hood with you. So glad that you are with us every Tuesday after SmackDown Live is over on the USA Network. We are here bringing you pro wrestling / sports entertainment conversation. We have two great guests. We're going to hear from the Last Real Man, Milwaukee's own Silas Young from Ring of Honor. We'll get his thoughts on his Green Bay Packers, of course, and his Milwaukee Brewers. And of course, the ROH is really doing some great things, especially next year when they go to Madison Square Garden. They've already sold that show out for next April, ROH and New Japan Pro Wrestling. So we'll hear from Silas Young coming up. Also, Josh Lopez from the Josh Lopez Wrestling Podcast on YouTube, Chicago Zone. We'll hear from Joshy and get his thoughts on some of the storylines around professional wrestling. We have to start off, though, talking about the passing of Jim the Anvil Neidhart, one half of the Hart Foundation and the WWF. They were tag team champions, Bret Hart and Jim the Anvil Neidhart, managed by Jimmy Hart. A terrific tag team, without question. And Jim Neidhart, when you go back to the WWE Network, you can find early footage of Jim Neidhart as a wrestler with Mid-South, also in the Stampede Calgary area, was a terrific football player turned pro wrestler. And Jim Neidhart, again, a great tag team wrestler and had his own personality. So all the best to his daughter, Natty Neidhart, who wrestles for the WWE right now in the women's division, and that whole family, because Neidhart is definitely one of the great characters that we've seen in wrestling over the years, and he passed away a few days ago. This has been a really tough summer if you're a wrestling fan for some of your favorites passing away in the wrestling business. Joining us now is the Last Real Man, Milwaukee's own Silas Young from Ring of Honor Wrestling, and he joins us here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Silas, Jonathan Hood, thanks so much for your time.
Yeah, no problem, man. Thanks for having me on.
Now, look at this. Look at Silas Young already with the smile on his face. What a great day for you, huh? Milwaukee Brewers shut out the Cubs 7-0. Training camp's open for the Green Bay Packers. You're a happy man right now.
Absolutely. It's a great time of the year.
What about this Brewers team? You know, it's coming down to the Cubs and the Brewers probably in the National League Central. What do you think is going to be the turnaround here? No one's really a favorite, I don't think, in the National League, but it might come down to those two teams.
You know, it's always hard to tell with the Brewers. You know, they seem to be real hit or miss. We have a lot of seasons where you do good at the beginning of the season, then after the All-Star break, they kind of all falls apart. So, you know, I don't know, baseball is just one of those sports, too, where, you know, it just seems like only time will tell you the story.
All right, let's break it down here as a Packers fan that you are. Let's break this down. So how about Aaron Rodgers calling out his wide receivers already? We're so early in the camp. A full heel turn from Aaron Rodgers. How did you read that when he was talking about how he wasn't happy with the effort?
I think for a guy like Aaron Rodgers, with everything he's done and, you know, the respect he has in the league, I think he does that more to, you know, try and fire up the young guys than to be disrespectful or call them out or anything. I think he does it as a way to try and motivate them. You know, we live in a day and age where everybody's so offended so easily and everybody's so easily to get hurt that I'm glad that he does it. That's something that a real man would do.
That's right, like you. Absolutely. So if the Packers only win one title, we've talked about this in the past on shows regarding the Packers, because to me, there should have been a couple of championships that's been won by Green Bay at this point, Silas. So if the Packers only win one championship under McCarthy and Rodgers, how disappointing is that? After all the talent, after all the free agents that have come in there and the draft picks, if there's only one, is that good enough for you?
No, it's not. Because, you know, you said it, they've had, you know, chances that seems like should have been them that just slipped through their fingers. You know, the Packers have this weird thing where, you know, I mean, I know it happens everywhere in the league, but they always seem to have so many injuries every year, so many injuries, and then you have so many positions that are lagging. But, you know, I think they have a good job of developing young players. And, you know, I think it would be a disappointment if they only get one championship.
I think it's about time that you start looking into the free agent pile. You know, for years in the past with the old GM, you'd always just have that, you just grow your own guys, which is good. I mean, here's the thing I can say about Green Bay for sure as a Bears fan. You're looking at Green Bay as a team over the years that grew their own talent. Didn't go into free agency very often because they knew what they wanted, so they hit on a lot of their draft picks. But the thing is that when you need to be able to fill a hole here and there, you know, the thing I didn't like is that the Packers did not go into free agency, spend the money to find guys. And maybe with this new GM, maybe that is kind of a change of philosophy for Green Bay.
Yeah, I mean, I hope so. I think a lot of Packer fans feel the same way. You know, it's great to have the homegrown talent and all that, but, you know, there's a lot to be said for proven talent, you know, guys that have been out there and, you know, been in the league for years and years. So there's definitely a lot to be said for the free agency, and it hopefully it's something that's different now.
Silas Young from Ring of Honor Wrestling. You can go to ROHWrestling.com, go to the pro shop. You can get one of his T-shirts. I might even get that puke green and yellow. I might even buy that for you. I might even do that just for you.
That great Packers-themed Silas Young T-shirt.
Oh, jeez. I saw that. I'm like, I might buy it just for you. I might buy that. I might wear it at home. I don't know if I'd wear it out, but I definitely would buy it for you. So here's what I'm thinking, Silas. When I look at the NFC North and I'm looking at the Vikings, I just thought that the only thing that was missing for them is a quarterback. I mean, strong defense, offense was percolating really well. I'm thinking with Cousins in the mix, if he stays healthy, is that not the favorite in the NFC? Looking at if Cousins can be able to harness that offense.
Yeah, you know, he's definitely a guy who's proven himself the last few years, and I think they're a team. They did really good last year, and I think they kept a lot of their players, correct?
They kept
a lot of their team. Yeah, I mean, I think they should do good. I mean, I don't want to admit it being a Packers fan, but I definitely like when the games are more of a competition and it's actually someone to beat opposed to just, you know, games that they consider gimme games and then they lose them anyways.
All right, so tell me this. What's more of a rivalry for you now? Is it Bears-Packers or Vikings-Packers? Or are the Lions even in there at all?
I think it's always Bears-Packers.
Are the Lions in that conversation at all?
I guess since they're a divisional team, yeah, but I just really feel like there's always been that Bears-Packers feud, so to speak, you know, and it's just always, they're just always good games. Even if they're, I don't know, it's always a good build-up to them. I feel like people always feel like they have a special feel to them.
Absolutely. And that feel is us beating your ass. That's the feeling we love. That's
when was that, in the late 80s?
Well, I mean, that's when I got YouTube. I could get a chance to watch a Don Mikowski out there. I could watch him. I could watch a Forrest Gregg getting beat down by Ditka. Those are my favorite times as a Bears fan. So what's going
to
happen?
Rough years to be Packer fans.
Oh yeah, well absolutely. But things are looking up. I just think that the Vikings are the class of the division right now, and I think that they could be a Super Bowl team. But I just want to see a healthy Rodgers and see what he's going to do. How do you forecast it now? Before I ask you about ROH, how do you forecast it? Does it come down to the Packers and the Vikings in the division?
Yeah, I think it really is going to, and I mean it seemed to be like that for a while now. I think it's definitely going to come down to that, and it might be a little bit harder for the Packers this year than it has been in the years past.
All right, Silas. So here's the thing that really surprised me in a good way: seeing ROH and New Japan Pro Wrestling sell out Madison Square Garden next April. I mean, that is just tremendous for the business. What was your initial reaction when you found out the news?
It's funny you say that. I was just talking with someone about this the other day. When I heard a couple months back that we were going to be running Madison Square Garden, I was like, wow, that's amazing. That's the biggest wrestling arena in the world. You know, it's the place everybody wants to work. So, you know, first off, when I found out that we were running, and I thought it was awesome. But then, the other day when I found out that it sold out in less than 20 minutes, I was dumbfounded. I was amazed. You know, it's just, you know, we're the first wrestling company to run there besides WWE since the 60s. And to be able to sell it all like that, that's an unbelievable feeling.
So what does that say? Because outside of ROH, you're traveling to independent shows as well. And you're seeing crowds, not only in the United States, but around the world. So how do you look at wrestling now in 2018? How hot is it? For listeners that don't know, how hot is it outside of the WWE for you?
It's huge. I mean, I've been wrestling for 16 years now, and I started in 2002, and that was after, shortly after WCW closed and ECW had closed. And, as a young guy, I didn't really realize how much of an impact that had on the career choice I was making. So to see over the last 16 years, and especially really in the last just couple of years, how much wrestling has grown. I mean, I think the statement about Ring of Honor, running MSG, Madison Square Garden, and selling out in 20 minutes, I think that, that kind of says it all. It's like this hot underground thing that, people are kind of paying attention to again. Wrestling's hot right now, and it's great to be a part of it.
I guess there's this so is much, the hot. Go ahead.
There's so much different variety out there. For depending what you like, there's so much available content, and it's just awesome to be a part of it. And it's awesome that it's not just these big shows that are selling out either. Like you said, it's independent shows. It's everything. Every part of the business is doing good right now.
How much has the business changed since you started off in the early 2000s for you?
It's definitely become a lot more athletic based. It's definitely always been an athletic competition, but the stuff that guys are doing in the ring in 2018 is a lot different than what was going on in 2002. It's changed in that way that it's more athletic. It's changed in the fact that content's a lot more available. We have all these streaming clubs, like Ring of Honor has the Honor Club. You can sign up. I think it's about $10 a month, and you can check out basically all the old shows, all the shows that we do on the road. They're always streaming live that night. There's just so much more content available, and everybody in the wrestling business has stepped up their game. So it's just gotten that much better as well.
Silas, is there a territory that you would have loved to work in back in the day? I got a couple I wrote down. You tell me.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, even to this day, I would still like to go to Puerto Rico. I've never been there. I just think the whole concept of the territories was awesome. And I guess to compare it to something like nowadays is, the territories died off, I guess, in maybe the 80s sometime. And it's almost like the territories have come back. You know, you have places like Ring of Honor to work, WWE to work, Impact Wrestling, Lucha Underground, places in Mexico, places in Europe. You know, they're running shows. There's multiple shows a week going on in Europe. You know, there's one. There's a company in Germany that's running 80, 90 shows a year. There's so many good places. But for, like, the old territories, if I would have ever gotten to work, I mean, I would have loved to work for... You know, to work in St. Louis, I would have liked to work the Carolinas, you know, down in Texas. You know, really everywhere would have been a great opportunity. What were the ones you had in mind, though?
Okay, so I wrote down that you would have gotten over huge with Crockett in the NWA. You would have been, like, they would have made you, like, television champion, and you, and like, he would have been, like, United States champion. You would have been, like, against... You know, Jimmy Valiant and maybe Nikita when he turned babyface. I wrote down Portland with Don Owen. I thought that if you were in Portland, you and Buddy Rose and all that group up there, Roddy Piper was up there for a little bit as well. I think that you would have thrived really well in Portland as kind of being their champion in that. And it was short territory too, by the way, with Portland. It was just like Salem, Portland, a little Vancouver, maybe. A little bit of Canada in Vancouver, but it was like a lot of short trips. And and lastly, I wrote down Eddie Graham's Florida territory, like, you know, being with, dealing with baby faces like a young Barry Windham back in the day, and guys like that, Dusty Rhodes in Florida. I think that I could see your style and your persona working well in those territories.
Right.
That makes sense.
That would have been, yeah, absolutely. And those are definitely all places that I definitely would have loved the opportunity to have gotten to work, you know, had I been around there in that time.
Yeah. So tell us, for those that are really trying to figure out their manhood and try to figure out who they are, especially young guys, what is the most important thing that men need to know to be a real man?
You need to be confident in yourself. You need to make decisions for yourself. Not have to go out and get the opinions of 1,000 different people. Make a decision for yourself, go through with it, and be ready to accept the circumstances of your results. You know, sometimes things don't turn out as exactly as you'd like them to be, but, you know, part of being a man is living with your choices and the results of your choices and making better thoughts before you make your actions.
You still, I mean, here's what's interesting about you, watching you over the years. You're just it's interesting to watch the fans and how they react to you. Like, you are in some places, you're just a babyface, and I know that's not what you want to be necessarily want to be all the time, depending on what company that you're working with. But I think that people are gravitating to you because they want to be a real man. They like the idea of you coming after them from time to time. Some of the fans.
Right. I think wrestling too is a little bit different in the fact that, you know, in like the 60s, 70s, 80s, you know, people really bought into the whole, you know, kayfabe thing. You know, you had wrestlers who were getting stabbed or, you know, getting pee thrown on them and, you know, just having disgusting things happen to them because people, you know, legitimately thought stuff was happening and, you know, wanted to kill guys. But I think nowadays, you know, obviously what we do, you know, is entertainment. It doesn't take anything away from it. I mean, it's definitely a very physical, tough job. It beats up our bodies, but, you know, at the end of the day, we're out there to entertain people, you know, and people are smart enough to realize that. And I think a lot of times, you know, when people are entertained, they're entertained, and it doesn't matter if a guy's supposed to be a good guy or a bad guy. I think people, you know, fans just recognize good talent, or they recognize things that they feel is real or they can identify with. And I think that's it's a compliment in a way. You know, it's like I said, it's not the day of that guy's a good guy, that guy's a bad guy. It's the day and age of what entertains me and, you know, what do I enjoy. So I take that as a compliment when that happens.
There's still fans that's trying to reach over and get you at, you know, over the rail. There's still guys that want to get after you. You know that, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And I always always love egging those guys on more and more.
All right. Well, last thing I have for you, and I appreciate your time. Tell me a little bit about ROH for those that have not watched the product enough. What do you like most about how the company's going right now?
You know, I've been with them for 5 years now, pretty much full time. It's been a cool experience to you know, watch the company grow. I did stuff for them years back off and on, but for the last 5 years it's been full time, and to watch it, you know, us slowly be doing more and more shows, starting to hit different markets, doing more international tours. It's been a very, very cool experience to watch something grow from the inside. You know, in the last few months, last 6, 7, 8 months, we've been doing bigger venues, which has, you know, equaled into looking like a better TV product. You know, I also say, too, for the longest time, WWE set the standard in what pro wrestling is. And I really feel like in the last 5 years or so that it's honestly been more places like Ring of Honor and places like New Japan Pro Wrestling that set the standard in what pro wrestling is nowadays. Because you look at places like WWE, and all their top guys are guys that came through New Japan Pro Wrestling, that came through Ring of Honor Wrestling. So really, if you're looking for what pro wrestling is nowadays, there's really no better show to check out than Ring of Honor, because like I said, we set the standard in what pro wrestling is.
Well, Silas, I'm glad you spent some time here in Chicago on the program, and much success for you and your Packers when you're not playing the Bears. So I appreciate you coming on the program.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it as well.
Great to hear from Silas Young, his thoughts about Ring of Honor. And now we turn to Josh Lopez. Go to YouTube.com, look for the Josh Lopez Wrestling Podcast. Also go to ProWrestlingTranscriptions.com. You'll find Josh Lopez there. He joins us on Tuesday Wrestling Tuesday here on ESPN 1000. Hello, Josh.
Hoodie, it's a pleasure to be on the airwaves of ESPN 1000. Only one thing I do every single Tuesday after SmackDown is check out Tuesday Wrestling Tuesday. So it's an honor to be on your show.
Well, I really appreciate you coming on, for sure. Before I get your thoughts about SummerSlam, Josh, I want to get your thoughts on the passing of Jim the Anvil Neidhart. I started off the show talking about you know, how this has been a really difficult time for wrestling fans when it comes to deaths. I mean, it's inevitable, it's going to happen, but it just seems like our childhood is leaving us every time you see someone passing away. What are your memories of Neidhart in the ring?
I am a big advocate of the 70s style of wrestling. I've watched a lot of old tapes of Mid-South Wrestling and Florida Championship Wrestling, and seeing him having that tag team with Butch Reed or King Kong Bundy, even before he came to the World Wrestling Federation, did the whole Hart Foundation angle. I feel like Jim Neidhart is very underappreciated as a tag team wrestler. I know he was a heavyweight champion in other promotions in the South during the 70s and 80s. It's just very sad, Jonathan, you know, looking at the past couple years, especially during the summertime, we have these big rash of deaths. I mean, a couple of weeks ago, we just had Brian Christopher, Nikolai Volkoff, Rick Stone Brown. And it's just, it's really, really sad. And you never know when it's going to happen. And it's once you get to a certain age where it's just like, oh, once somebody's getting past 65, you don't know if they're going to be here or not.
Josh, on Raw last night, we saw, I believe that was Dean Ambrose, or was that a miniature Triple H? I wasn't sure. But we saw Dean Ambrose come back to Monday Night Raw last night. What are your thoughts on Ambrose, his return, how he looks, and what are your expectations for him at SummerSlam as a second to Seth Rollins in an Intercontinental title match?
Perfect timing. I find it very ironic that he's coming back on the last Raw before SummerSlam, because if you remember last year, Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins reunited to form a mini Shield before they ended a tag team match at SummerSlam with the Bar, and they won the tag team titles that week. Now we're here a year later, and Ambrose comes back from a shoulder injury, and he looks very impressive. The Triple H comparison is very valid, I'll give you that. I thought he looked a little bit more British Bulldog during the Attitude Era more than Triple H, but that's just my point of view. Mm-hmm. Dean Ambrose is a very talented wrestler. I'm very happy to see him back, and there's a lot of questions up here whether he's going to remain the WWE version of a babyface as not always serious all the time and cracking jokes. But that's the intrigue. You know, you got a SummerSlam Go Home show, and you want to leave people excited for the pay-per-view, and I think Raw accomplished that last night.
I'm calling for a heel turn at SummerSlam because the Intercontinental title match is Dolph Ziggler, the champion, taking on with Drew McIntyre, taking on Seth Rollins, and Ambrose is the second in the corner of Seth Rollins. I'm looking for a heel turn there because with the new look, the new haircut, maybe he's not as much of a lunatic as we think, Dean Ambrose.
I can see that, and you got to look at it just in general, especially for the Raw side. I mean, with the exception of a Kevin Owens and a Jinder Mahal, you can't really count on a full hand of how many heels, top heels you have on Monday Night Raw. I once had a fan of Jon Moxley before he came to the WWE, and he did amazing heel work. Even when he first arrived to the WWE with the Shield or his SCW work with William Regal, I think Dean could do a very good job as a bad guy, and it's a presentation we haven't seen in almost 4 or 5 years. So it'd be something new to the table. I know we've seen a lot of Dean Ambrose Steph Rollins matches, but are you going to complain? I mean, how many Ric Flair and Ricky Steamboat matches have you seen? And they've brought the goods each and every single time. I'm totally open to seeing Dean Ambrose making that switch.
SummerSlam is right around the corner from the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, and Josh Lopez from the Josh Lopez Wrestling Podcast on YouTube.com and also ProWrestlingTranscriptions.com. He joins me, Jonathan Hood, on Tuesday Wrestling Tuesday on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. So from top to bottom, Josh, what do you think of the SummerSlam card? What stands out most? What are you looking forward to seeing?
I think, personally, it's been one of the better-built SummerSlam cards in the past 5 years, to be honest with you. I just feel like, transcribing both Raw and SmackDown each week, it definitely as I do, get to see congruent storylines through multiple beats throughout the show, and whether you have a match that you may feel like indifferent towards you, there's a story behind it, and I feel there's a story attached to every match, whether it's Raw or SmackDown. And I'm very, very excited for the show on Sunday. It's one of the more SummerSlams recently that I'm like very, very pumped for. There's not one match that I feel like, oh, it's going to ruin the entire show. And you'll get a lot of these things, Jonathan, but this is a big sport pay-per-view that's must-see.
What did you think of Renee Young on Raw last night?
I thought she did a good job. I've always been a big advocate for Renee Young, even when she made her WWE debut in 2013, and she did a lot of WWE talk show work for the Aftermath when she was in the Score Network back in Toronto. Renee Young's very talented broadcaster, as everybody knows, and I thought she brought a very good dynamic to the show. I've heard her do commentary in NXT before, and I always wondered why they stopped letting her do commentary, color commentary. It adds a new layer to the show, and I thought she did a very good job last night.
Yeah, Michael Cole was gushing about her on his Twitter page. I find that third chair to be daunting, and I think it's kind of an uncomfortable position, because that is the chair that always gets crap for no reason, quite frankly. I mean, whether it's Coachman, whether it is Byron Saxton on SmackDown, or what we're seeing on NXT, I just think that that third chair, for whatever reason, is not a good chair, because that person always gets a lot of crap. And I'm glad that Renee Young was able to survive that for the most part. I mean, to me, everything should be about the ring. It should not be about the commentators and them, really busting each other's balls back and forth. But unfortunately, that's what it's kind of deteriorated into that in the WWE. But that's what they do. How surprised were you of the sellout for ROH and New Japan Pro Wrestling in Madison Square Garden? For those that don't know, next April, during WrestleMania week, Ring of Honor and New Japan will be coming together, and they will be at Madison Square Garden, much to the chagrin of the McMahon family, because that's their building over the years. But how much did that surprise you, how quickly that happened?
Jonathan, I'm not surprised at all. I think it's a true testament to where the professional wrestling business is right now, and I'm saying professional wrestling for a reason, because I've been watching WWE since I was 4 years old in 1998, and they've always told me it's sports entertainment, so I take their word and what they're presenting. So WWE sports entertainment, other wrestling companies I look at as professional wrestling, and professional wrestling is in a good state right now. I mean, we could call it to the fact you were doing a live wrestling talk show during the Attitude Era when the business was super hot, and now you're back doing wrestling talk, and people are interested. And we're having a live event during WrestleMania weekend at Madison Square Garden with Ring of Honor and Japan, having this synergy and this partnership over the last 4 years. And it's only doing good for the wrestling business. I'm not surprised by it at all. I mean, we got All In coming up in Chicago at the Sears Center Arena in a couple of weeks. It's a very good time to be a professional wrestling fan, and I'm not surprised by it at all.
Josh, lastly, and I appreciate your time, as I look at the SummerSlam card, I want to ask you, where do you think that the, I don't know, WWE championship match will be placed? I assume that it's not the main event. Is it the opener? Is it somewhere in the middle? This is an ongoing thing we've talked about this summer, how I think that AJ Styles is this generation's CM Punk with that title. He happens to be the WWE champion, but yet he can't get in the main event and major cards, and I just think that that is wrong. I understand that Brock is the bigger draw. Point is, though, is that you're minimizing the importance of the title. If the title's even hot, I don't even know how you look at it, but you would think that the champion of the company would have main event status, but with AJ Styles, that has not necessarily been the case.
I totally agree with you, Kevin. And I'll offer up this point. SummerSlam, many of the big horror shows has always been presented. It's the WWE version for hardcore fans. This is the show the hardcore fans cling to. You know, you're going to get your pompous circumstances at WrestleMania and the Tyrone Ballyhoo at WrestleMania, those type of matches for the mainstream audience. And SummerSlam's for the in-and-out smart crowd out there. And you look back a couple years ago, it was a SmackDown match that made it back to pay-per-view, Brock Lesnar and Randy Orton, and had no title on it. Brock Lesnar knocked out Randy Orton during the match, and, you know, people were indifferent towards it. And it's a very interesting thing, because we only talk about once the top performers, whether they're the WWE champion or not, in the main event picture. But when they're on, it's either the booking decision didn't go to the way you wanted, or the crowd's indifferent, as we saw with Dolph Ziggler and Seth Rollins at this last pay-per-view, which is very unfortunate because both those guys brought a really good match. I really enjoyed it. There's no reason why I wouldn't expect AJ Styles and Samoa Joe to main event that pay-per-view. But also, don't forget, a couple years ago, Finn Balor and Seth Rollins were fighting for the Universal title, and everybody was chanting for a color of the belt. So, and then when they give them, you know, you turn your back at it. I just don't understand that mindset. I could see opening the 3rd hour show. I mean, it's going to be a 6 or 7 hour show. I know I'm in for a long night typing wise because I'm going to be covering the event live on Sunday. But I wouldn't be surprised if it didn't get a show, but I don't trust the Brooklyn crowd, to be honest with you.
All right, again, ProWrestlingTranscriptions.com, and don't forget to go to YouTube.com and look for the Josh Lopez Wrestling Podcast and subscribe there. Josh, as always, we appreciate it. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Buddy, anytime, my man. It's a pleasure. Honor. Last recording Josh Lopez Wrestling Podcast with my brother Adam Daly. Hope you guys get a chance to check out the podcast and the website, and love to come on the show again.
All right, Josh Lopez with us here on Tuesday Wrestling Tuesday, right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Hey, yo, Jay Wood, run that back. Give them the info they need.
All right, no show tomorrow. Baseball tomorrow, back Thursday, 7 to 10, right here on ESPN 1000.
Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.